The GM strike that's about a lot more than unionized GM workers. I'm David Brancaccio in New York with news yesterday afternoon that the United Auto Workers Union has rejected a new offer from General Motors, saying there are, quote, still many more important issues that remain unresolved. The union submitted a counterproposal. The strike's into a third week now, with 46,000 workers off the job and production shut down. The labor action is also being felt by non-GM workers. From the Marketplace Workplace Culture Desk, here's Megan McCarty Carino.
The cars made by GM aren't really just made by GM, says Michael Robinette with IHS Market.
Sometimes 60 to 70% of the vehicle comes from components manufactured by suppliers.
An individual car might contain parts from more than 100 other companies, making everything from seats to door panels, steering wheels, headlights, exhaust systems, you name it.
So certainly there's a trickle-down effect whenever there's a labor stoppage or some other stoppage of production.
The state of Michigan reports about 3,500 workers have applied for unemployment benefits since the strike started, most of them laid off from GM suppliers. That includes around 300 workers at Android Industries in Lansing, which assembles cockpits for the Chevy Traverse and Buick Enclave. Jake Jacobson represents many of the workers with the UAW.
Things are tough, but being UAW, we stick together.
He says they've been getting help from charities to provide food baskets and fuel cards to laid-off workers as the strike grinds on. I'm Megan McCarty Carino for Marketplace.
On-the-job wellness programs offer rewards and discounts on healthcare costs for employees who agree to get some regular exercise, maybe to stop smoking or change their diets. Over 50 million workers participate in those, and now some people who buy their insurance through the Affordable Care Act may have something similar. Marketplace's Erica Barris has that story.
Under a federal pilot program, people in up to 10 states could soon get discounts on health insurance premiums. This was written into the ACA, which passed way back in 2010. The point is to make people healthier and reduce healthcare spending. Julian Reif teaches finance and economics at the University of Illinois.
I'm hopeful that states will put together a good design that allows them to actually estimate the effects of these programs.
But Nicholas Bagley, a law professor at the University of Michigan, says he's unsure if the program will even get off the ground.
Insurers don't have the infrastructure in place to do that right now. They could develop it if they wanted to.
But some might not. A couple of recent studies have found little evidence that wellness programs actually work. Catherine Baker is a health economist at the University of Chicago.
People who participate in those programs are often the ones who were already interested in improving their diet and exercise and the like.
The federal government says it will evaluate the results from the pilot program and later determine whether to expand it. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Yesterday, we were reporting on the downturn in this index that measures U.S. factory activity, given the trade war and rough spots in the global economy. Also, the World Trade Organization forecasts that global trade will rise by the smallest percentage since the Great Recession that pushed down stock prices, with the Dow falling 343 points, 1.3% yesterday. This morning, U.S. stock index futures are down again. Dow and S&P futures down 0.6%. London way down, the FTSE down 2%, with the UK Prime Minister's new Brexit plan on the way today. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
This week, China is celebrating 70 years of Communist Party rule. The anniversary comes amid the U.S.-China trade war, pushed by a U.S. administration that sees China benefiting unfairly from those shared commercial relationships. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack this week is traveling along a supply chain that's been benefiting from existing trade rules. Yesterday, shoe manufacturers, today suppliers of shoe parts in southern China.
Mo Ryong has a talkative three-year-old son, and he's proud that he can provide a better life for his child, thanks to China's economic reforms over the last few decades.
Kids today are much happier than my generation was. For example, families can go on vacation now, so our standard of living has gone up a lot.
Mo Ryong manufactures shoe heels, chunky heels, studded ones, stilettos, any size or shape you can think of. There's a mold for it. Hundreds of them line the walls of his shop on Dongguan's shoe components district. His clients mainly sell to the U.S., so business has been tough.
I have been getting fewer orders, and the orders are smaller. That's because the U.S. has imposed tariffs on some types of shoes.
The Trump administration has accused China's government of supporting Chinese industries in a way that creates an unfair advantage over American firms. But suppliers of shoe components like Ivan Chen deny this. He says businesses like his do get small tax rebates, but are generally left to fend for themselves. Chen manufactures leather and other materials for shoes and works with brands like Keds and Zara. He says this is a hard business and competition is intense.
I have tens of thousands of competitors across China.
To stay ahead, he's developing new material like biodegradable leather. He shows me a sample book of the new fabric. The whole project cost him $30,000 to $40,000, a hefty investment for him. President Trump is determined to tackle what he calls cheating by China. But heel maker Mo Ryong says the success of China's shoe industry isn't based on cheating at all.
We work long nights, we work on weekends, we work on holidays. We earned our success with hard work.
Still, the market is so tough right now, he says he's not sure how long he can stay in business. In Dongguan City, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, Jennifer meets with traders who move those southern Chinese shoes toward the U.S. market. Today, we also have a report on some of the economic tensions that lie beneath the political unrest in Hong Kong. It'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed later on if you miss it on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.